Well, today we continue our series in Joshua, looking at faith a new way as the people of Israel found this new path and this new hope to what God had opened up for them. And today we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 4. And so we're going to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through to 11 as we continue this amazing story. Joshua 4, verses 1 to 11. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of his covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. Amen. This is an incredible story, isn't it? And I hope that you're reading it and engaging in it and sensing what God has to say through his word to you and to us during this particular time. If you remember the context for this story, the people of Israel have been in exile, have been in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years, having missed an opportunity to go into the promised land once already when the spies came back and 10 of them gave a bad report and 2 of them said we can do it, and they melted away in fear. And so they wandered around the wilderness until that age of people had died, and until this moment where God had prepared them for it. I'm sure many times they would have joined in the song, "I want to be free." I'm sure as they wandered around the desert, there was that sense, when is all this going to end? You know, when is God going to fulfill the promises that he's made to us? And I sense we've been echoing that as well during this time of lockdown. You know, I'd love to sing it to you, "I want to be free," but maybe for another day, and I can't actually today anyway. But I'm sure you've felt that. "I just want to be free. When is God gonna do what he's promised us? When is he going to move us into this new future, to this land that is flowing with milk and honey that is just across that river?" If you've missed any of the story so far, do catch up on our YouTube channel, or you can catch up through our website as well. And if you were here last week, you'll know that Tom left the story where the people of Israel had just crossed over through the sea. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, we read, "The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry land." And that was where we left them last week. An absolute miracle, a wonder to behold. And the people who had crossed must have been overwhelmed by this sense of, at last, we're into that place, that promised land that God had taught us about many, many years ago. And as they shared this excitement together, as they came into this place, I'm sure that there was an opportunity for them to find a new focus, a new opportunity to say, what is God going to take us to now? What have I got to focus on now? How do I come out of this wilderness experience, this lockdown, this feeling of frustration, and focus on what God has in store next? It's like a new story is just about to begin for this particular group of God's people. Of course, when you face a new future, we must never forget the past. And I think part of this story in Joshua chapter 4 is a reminder to us that although there is something new coming, there is also a remembrance of what has happened and what has led us to this point. And I think in Joshua chapter 4, there's a bit of a mixture of that excitement of the new and yet also a remembrance of the past as well. And how important it is for us to dovetail those two things carefully together as we too, in our individual lives, take on an opportunity for a new focus. I mean, we know, if you know the rest of the story of what happened to the people of Israel, nothing ran smoothly in the future for them as well. I mean, they were yet to go into exile and face all the frustration of that as well. But here in this moment, God was going to remind them of his faithfulness and going to sharpen up their focus for the future that they had planned. Now, focus is really important, isn't it? I'm noticing here there's quite a number of people in the room who wear glasses, and I can imagine the day for you when you swallowed your pride and decided that you must go to the optician, and you had that day. I can remember it myself as well, denying that my eyes were getting worse, but getting to that point of saying, well, okay, I better go and get them checked out. And then there's that moment when you sit in the optician's chair, and it's all very mechanical now and computerized, but when the optician places those lenses in front of your eyes and suddenly everything becomes clear. They just get the exact prescription right, and suddenly the focus comes in, and you wondered why you hadn't bothered before. And I think this is part of this journey for the people of Israel as well, that they are having this moment where they're getting their eyes tested, where God is just going to take them into this place and say, right, here is the focus I want for you for the future. This was the moment of clarity where all the frustrations of the time that they'd had in their 40 years of lockdown were going to open up for them, and they were going to see clearly where God was going to lead them next. And I think for us, for God's people, for those of you who maybe are still seeking faith, there is this focus, this clarity which we can find that God has led many people to until that moment when we see things clearly and we have a confidence in where God is leading us. So what sort of focus do we need to have as we move forward? Well, I think there are some lessons here from this particular chapter. Firstly, focus on God's presence with you. Focus on God's presence with you. You know, this story of the people of Israel, this 40 years is a story of waiting, of incessant waiting, waiting for the spies to return when they were sent out, waiting the 40 years in the wilderness, waiting for the spies to come again when they went to Jericho in the story we've got, waiting for the priest to step into the water, waiting for the water to be stopped, waiting for the whole of the people to go across. There is a waiting moment here, and I think this is the lesson. We need to focus on the presence of God, to wait and say, God, where are you in this story? Where are you in my story? You know, naturally, you want to go and explore, don't you? I can remember having lots of holidays as a kid, and my dad would always book us a house somewhere in the country, and we would go and spend time. And that was long before Airbnb and every other thing that was there. But you used to be able to book a house, and I can remember holidays in Port Isaac in Cornwall, in Abersoch in North Wales, in Dimchurch in Kent. We moved around the country, but when we arrived at this new house, the first thing I wanted to do was to run through and explore all the places that were in this exciting new place, and Bagsy the best bedroom, of course, which is what the aim was throughout the whole time. But when you get to a new place, there's an excitement that comes. There's something you want to go and explore. You want to see what's available. You want to learn what's around you. And I'm sure the people of Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, they thought that was it. They were going to rush and explore this new land, but God has a different way. He says, I just want you to wait a bit longer. I want you to wait, and I want you to focus on my presence. Because remember, as the people of Israel had got to the other side, the priests were still in the middle of in the middle of the riverbed. They were still there. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was still in the middle. And I can just hear God calling them back and saying, no, I want you to keep focused on my presence. Before anything else happens, focus on the truth that my presence is with you. I've been with you throughout this journey. In a moment, I'll be with you again. But now, I want you to stop. I want you to turn around and I want you to look back to what I've just done for you. I've just stopped this river for you. I've stopped this flood coming over you as you were crossing. Focus on my presence, won't you? And I love to think that God has a moment of procrastination. I mean, we could have an honesty in this morning. How many of you would consider yourself procrastinators? We've got a few hands up here, including mine. You put off things. And you put off things. I love to think that God is procrastinating on purpose here. That's going to be my line back now. When somebody accuses me of procrastination, I'm going to say, well, I'm procrastinating on purpose. Sounds a bit better, doesn't it? But I love to think that God just causes us just to wait. He's not in a rush for the next stage. I want you to focus on my presence. Just turn around and look at where you've come from. I'm there. Look at this place. Look what I've done for you. Because it's easy to rush on. But before you do, just wait and let me remind you of what I've done for you. Now, I'm guessing during lockdown, many of us have wrestled with the issue of loneliness. There's been times, even if you're part of a family, there may have been times when you've been lonely and you've felt that loneliness because of things that have been stripped away from you. Perhaps some of us have been left uncertain or unclear. Maybe our faith has been tested and tried. But I want to say to you today, take an extra moment to focus on God's presence because he has been with you. And it would be good for us to acknowledge that truth. He's not rushing anywhere. And he doesn't want you to rush anywhere. Remember what he's led you through and that he is with you. In the excitement of freedom, let's turn back and look and see where he has led us. Focus on God's presence with you. Secondly, focus on God's purposes for you. Just when they've crossed over, God says to them, I want you to go back. Some of you, I want you to go back. 12 of you, I want you to go back right into the river. And I want you to go and stand by the ark. Now, that was a bit, I mean, I wouldn't have been at the front of the queue for that one, I think. I would have been ducking at the back, I think. I didn't want to be chosen to be the ones to go back into the river. I mean, crossing the river once is good and the water didn't come, but should I risk it again, going back into that place? Well, the ark of the presence of God is still there. The priest is still there. So if we've learned anything, then we can know that's a safe place to be. And in fact, this is quite fascinating because last week we heard that they had to keep 900 meters away from the ark when they crossed. This time, those 12 who have been chosen are going right back to where the ark is and they're going to dig up some stones right there. You can just picture the story, can't you? You can picture it. Some of them may be nervous, but God has something to do with those that he's chosen. Now, I've been doing some digging recently, and I have to say, I've found quite a few stones in my garden, and they are a magnificent size, aren't they, don't you think? And I could have bought you bucket loads of these stones that I've dug up in my garden in a very small space, but they are magnificent, don't you think? I had one bigger, actually, but I couldn't carry it, not even on my shoulder, but I left it at home. But they are magnificent-looking stones. I'm amazed, and I know I've got to do something with them, but I'm not quite sure what. But I was thinking that every stone tells a story, doesn't it? And if we had a geologist in the room today, they would be able to tell us exactly the story of this stone. Now, I know we have a geologist in our congregation, but unfortunately they're not here, but if they're watching, I'm sure you're going to tell me where all these stones have come from other than my garden. They all have a story to tell. And in Joshua chapter 4 verse 6, the whole point of these stones that they were going to dig up from this riverbed was that they were going to tell a story. These 12 stones were going to be a sign, it says in verse 6 of chapter 4, a sign that you can tell the next generation the story of what God has done. This exciting moment in our story, I want you to tell them what God has done. When they say to you, what do these stones mean? You're going to tell them These stones mean that God has been with us and that God has a purpose for us into the future as well. A memorial, a new covenant from this day forward, a reminder of God's faithfulness towards us on that day. And right from the middle of this impossible crossing, these stones are telling us what God has done. And if God has done it then, it's a reminder that God can do it in the future. See, God has a purpose for each of us. God has proved himself faithful. He's been the rock in our lives. He's proved himself time and time again. And God says, I don't want you to forget that. I want you to look at these stones and remember my faithfulness to you. Perhaps during lockdown, you've experienced a new kind of fear that you haven't had before. Maybe it's got worse as it's gone on. And you still can't shake off that fear, that uncertainty, maybe anxiety or worry or even panic that has sort of crept into our lives at times. It's been debilitating to your plans, to your decisions, to your choices. And you feel a bit stuck because of all of that. Some of us, we've been eager to enjoy the new freedoms. We want to make up for lost time. But what if before we hurry on, we sort of dig out a stone where God has been with us and it becomes a sign to us of what God has done, his faithfulness to keep us on track. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says that when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. They literally did that in Joshua 4. And it's a reminder that God's purposes are still true for us today if we can focus on his purposes. So what have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about God during this time? What have you learned about his purposes for you? Well, maybe there's something beginning to open up as you begin to give him thanks. What is your story? What are you telling to the people who look at you and say, what does this person mean? What does this person's life mean? And we can tell the story that the people of Israel experienced themselves. Living stones. Peter, in his letter, says, we are living stones being built to be God's temple. God, the witness to God's presence and his purposes in our lives. Yeah, I don't know whether I could build anything with these misshapen stones. And all of us are different shapes and sizes. Our stories are all different. Yet God somehow is building us into this temple, this witness, this place that says this is where God is. He has purposes to unravel. And finally, I think this story says, focus on God's power in you. Focus on God's power in you. Many of us have been, or maybe we still are, living in a place of uncertainty, unsure about what is going to happen next. For some of us, it's about our jobs. For some of us, it's finances. We're not quite sure how that's going to work out. For some of us, it's travel or health or fitness or whatever it is. But having focused on God's presence and his purposes, we can begin to write a new story. And I think that's what was beginning to happen now as the people of Israel had gone to the other side of the river. And we get to the other side of this particular journey that we've been in. These 12 stones are built into a memorial, the place where they spent the first night. The end of their story, but the beginning of their new one as well. Tell them about God's power that day. In chapter 4, verse 24, this is what it says. He did this. God did all this so that all peoples on earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. God did this so that all peoples on earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. So focus on God's power at work in you. Before we rush on, focus on God's presence with you. Before we rush on, focus on God's purposes for you. Before we rush on, focus on God's power in you. There are going to be challenges ahead. there are going to be battles to face. There are going to be frustrations and temptations and mistakes and failures, but focus. This is an opportunity for us to get clear what God is calling us to. Yeah, last week I went for an eye test for a part of a regular checkup for me, and I had to put my chin on that little thing and go into this incredible machine that they have now. Gone are the days of swapping all the lenses, aren't they? They just have a machine that does it all. And as I put my chin onto this machine, and as I put my eyes to where my eyes should be, as they were about to take a photograph of my eyes, the technician who was doing it said this to me. She said to me, "Just focus on the cross. Just focus on the cross." And as I just took a moment to focus, there, somewhere in this machine, there was a green cross that I had to focus on so the photograph could be taken. Wow. If ever there's a witness, there is one. Just focus on the cross. And as we focus on the cross, we see an empty cross because Jesus is alive. We see an empty tomb because he is alive. Resurrection has happened. You know, after I focused on the cross in that machine, there was suddenly a blinding flash of light. And it was like, oh my goodness, I can't see anything now. But then the cross came back into view. And maybe for us today, there needs to be that blinding flash of light, that revelation that the cross is what we focus on, that we look to, that is life in all its fullness. Faith that survives 400 years of lockdown in Egypt, 40 years of wilderness wandering, lockdown, loneliness, fear, and uncertainty, and begins to write a new story in our lives, focus on the cross. What story is your life telling? What has God done? And what is he going to do as we keep our eyes fixed on him for the future he has planned? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that it stands as a continuing memory, a memorial of your incredible covenant towards us, your people, of your faithfulness, of forgiveness of sin and failure in our lives, of the things that have gone wrong. The cross reminds us that we have a new story to tell, whatever our story so far is. I thank you that forgiveness is available for all those who will look to the cross. And I pray you'll help us to focus. Thank you for the truth that you are with us, that you are for us, that nothing separates us from your love, that you have power to fill us, to enable us to be your people, people who have a story to tell, have a story yet to be written. So make yourself known, I pray, and guide us into the future. May you give us clarity in our thinking, and as we walk, that you will walk with us, I pray. If you don't know the experience of the presence and power of God at work in your life, then I just want to urge you this morning to look at the cross. It's the place of forgiveness and freedom. It's the place of new beginnings. It's the constant reminder of life in all its fullness. Why would you do that? Well, Jesus gave his life for you. And he asks, would you give him your life today? Forgiveness flows from the cross, and you can be free. Father, may our lives live with the confidence of forgiveness and freedom. As you lead us on, we commit ourselves to follow you. In your name, amen.